Turning in the Word of God tonight to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'd like to thank Mr. Greer for his welcome tonight to come along to preach the Word here. It's always a joy and a privilege to say a word for Christ, to say a word for the Saviour. We're going to seek by God's grace to do that tonight in this meeting. Matthew chapter 16. Beginning to read together at verse number 13. Matthew chapter 16, begin to read together from verse number 13. Let's hear the word of God. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say they are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me. For thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know God will bless the public reading of his truth to every heart for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. We'll all take a moment here and wait on the Lord. If you're here and know and love the Lord, then pray with me. Pray for the meeting. Pray that the Lord will come. Pray for those that can't pray for themselves. Let's all seek the face of God. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in Jesus' name and by his precious blood, again we approach on to the eternal throne. We thank thee for revealing to us in Scripture that there is that way to approach thee by the blood of Jesus. And, O God, we thank thee for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that place of peace and pardon. We thank thee for the work that was done there. We thank thee for the blood that was shed. We thank thee for, as we've been singing, redemption ground. And, O God, we come to thee at this very juncture in the meeting, upon that ground of redemption, pleading all the merits and value of Jesus' blood, thanking thee for that perfect righteousness by which we can approach unto thy throne. We thank thee we're loved in Christ. We thank thee, Father in heaven, we're loved as Christ is loved. We thank thee, Father in heaven, we're accepted as Christ is accepted. And in him we are as near as he. And, O God, we bless thee for this. Thank thee for the standing that we have. And yet at this juncture, in this meeting, O God, we're so aware that the devil will always seek to hinder and resist in the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, by faith, we stand unto the victory of the cross. And we plead the precious blood of Christ. Thou hast told us we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by our word of our testimony. And Lord, we plead the blood against principalities and powers. We stand unto the victory of the cross. We pray for a purging of the atmosphere in Jesus' blood. We pray, O God, to be closed in with Thee tonight for a season. Shut us in with God, O Lord, we pray. Put Your hand in the meeting in its entirety. Thou alone knowest the heart of everyone gathered before Thee. And we pray, O God in heaven, in Jesus' name and by His blood, that whatever the need of the heart of the individual in this meeting, that by the eternal Spirit Thou would meet that need, apply redemption, convince of sin, as the Word is preached, work, O God, we pray, and lead to faith in Jesus' blood, and may men and women and young people leave this meeting tonight knowing the joy of sins forgiven, and peace with God through the blood of the cross. Father, I confess, and right now I feel it in my soul, my great inadequacy to deal with what is before me. And I ask Thee, O God, to empty me now of sin and anything that will hinder. Wash me in Jesus' blood and fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power, that Christ alone will be exalted and that the kingdom of God and of grace will be extended. Bless us for Christ's sake. Hear prayer in His name and do a work which will redound to the glory of God and the good of souls. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. There are many things in which the Apostle Peter is unique in the Gospel narratives. In the Gospel narratives, no disciple ever spoke as often as Peter spoke. After the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel narratives, there is no other name mentioned as often as Peter's. No disciple was ever so pointedly reproved by the Lord as Peter. No disciple ever ventured to reprove the Lord except Peter. Some things he said were such a blessing. Some things he said were certainly not a blessing. In this portion before us tonight, we have two statements by the Apostle Peter. The first one we see here in verse number 16, it's an answer to a question by our Lord Jesus as to whom say ye that I am? To which Peter said in verse number 16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A glorious confession indeed. A confession of the Christian faith. A confession which Christ told him was not from himself, but God had revealed it unto him. Because in verse 17 the Lord said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. A word truly from God above, as the Lord showed him. If that one came from heaven, and it did, the second one came from hell. Verse number 21, the Lord Jesus has been speaking to his disciples. Look with me. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Our Lord has just shown them his cross. He's told them he'll rise again from the dead. The great evidence that the success, that the atoning work would be a success. That redemption would be accomplished. That heaven would be opened by Jesus' blood. Instead of that rejoicing the heart of Peter, verse 22, Peter says this, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Peter takes him. He takes the Lord Jesus. He begins to rebuke him. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. It was ill thought out words by Peter. And as the Lord Jesus was quick to tell him the first time where his first statement came from, that it came from the Lord, he tells him the second time where that one came from. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Why did Christ use the word Satan? Why did he use the word which describes the great adversary of our soul? Well, Matthew Henry said this, I thought it was most striking. Whatever stood in the way of our salvation, didn't matter where it came from, Christ looked upon it as coming from the devil. Whatever stood in the way of our salvation, Christ looked upon it as coming from the devil. Got me thinking when I read that. Dear sinner in the meeting, whatever has kept you from Christ to this point in your life, you can trace it right to the devil. It's the devil that keeps men from coming to Christ. He'll use different things. He'll have different ploys. But ultimately, it's the devil that keeps sinners from coming to Christ. Well, how did the Lord react? Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to take verse 26 tonight as my text, and I want to speak tonight on this subject. To you, dear unsaved friend, in this meeting, I want to speak on your soul. Will Christ save it? Or will you lose it? Will Christ save it? Or will you lose it? From this moment and this meeting, I want you to forget all about the preacher. The book is opened. What happens now in this meeting is between you and God. When you stand before him in judgment, you'll give account for this meeting. So forget about the preacher. Just listen to what's been said. Because what happens now in this meeting is between you and God. Your soul. Will Christ save it? Or will you lose it? The first thing I want to show you tonight is this. The origin of your soul. The origin of the soul. The Lord Jesus said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Dear unsaved in the meeting, the origin of your soul is with God. God gave you that soul. With all its faculties, with all its senses, God gave you a soul. But what's more, in this text, the Lord Jesus Christ is warning you tonight that that soul which God has given you, there's its origin, you can lose that soul. In fact, sinner, in this meeting, your soul will either be lost or it'll be saved. Your soul will either go to heaven or it'll go to hell. Your soul will either endure eternal punishment or it will enjoy eternal bliss. That is the future for your soul. God gave you it. The origin of your soul is with God. The duration of your soul. Your soul is eternal. Your soul is immortal. Your soul will never die. It won't grow old. It won't age and cease to exist. When you die, that soul which God has given you, dear sinner friend, will only change its abode. Your soul will not go out of existence. It keeps its senses. Sinner, grasp this fact right now in the meeting. You are alive right now. And you will be alive forevermore. You are not going out of existence ever. Everyone that is brought into this world and made a living soul is alive forevermore. You're not going out of existence. You may die if the Lord tarries in the second coming, but your soul will live on. Your soul will only change its abode. The soul will not die. The soul is eternal. Turn with me to Matthew 22. Just go over a couple of chapters. Matthew 22, verse 32. Here we see it so clearly. Matthew 22, verse 32. The Lord Jesus, he's speaking to the Sadducees. He's reminding them of what happened there in Exodus 3 when God spoke to Moses at the bush. And he's telling them what God said to Moses. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now listen, when the Lord said that to Moses in Exodus 3, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been dead as years. But God says here, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. They were with God. He was still their God. He was with them. And dear sinner friend, in this meeting, you've got to see this. Your soul will live forever. It'll just change its abode. It'll just change its abode. Luke 16 makes that so clear. Two souls. One went to heaven. One went to hell. Two souls living forever in either God's heaven or in God's hell. My dear friends, see it. The soul you have will never die. You in this meeting without Christ are alive, and you will be alive forevermore. You're not going out of existence. Third thing I want to show you is this. The losing of the soul. The losing of the soul. Remember what I told you at the beginning? This is between you and God. God gave you the soul. The losing of the soul. For what has a man profited, our Lord Jesus said, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want you to note this, dear sinner friend, that the Lord Jesus draws attention to the fact that the soul is yours. You're responsible for it. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's your soul. It's your responsibility. God gave you it. You're responsible to what happens to it. And my dear friends, soon the day will come of accountability. Will you stand before God and give account of your stewardship? Account of the stewardship of that soul that God gave you. That Christ tells us here is of more value than the whole world. And if it's found that you've lost it. Though you've gained the world, you've died a lost, perishing soul. The losing of the soul. Oh, how appropriate the words of Christ. What's it going to profit you, sinner? What's it going to profit you, irrespective of what you have in earth, if you lose your soul? The grounds for losing that soul? Live for time. Forget all about eternity. Live for sin and rebellion, self-indulgence of the flesh, neglect the soul. Those who would gain the world, they love the world. They love the things of the world. They love the sin of the world. It allures them. It draws them. It attracts them. But sinner friend, see it tonight. That's the ground of losing your soul. That's the ground of losing your soul. Sin's designed to damn you. Sin's designed, as it was in the beginning, to take men from God and eternally ruin them. And my dear friend, you're going to have to face this head on tonight. God gave you a soul. It's of more value than the whole world. It's going to live forever in either heaven or in hell. And right now, as you sit in this gospel meeting, you are on the very grounds of losing the soul. You're on the very grounds of losing your soul. What's it going to profit you, the Lord says to you? Whatever it is that's keeping you back from Christ, what profit is there in it compared to your eternal soul? We already established this. God gave you it. You're not going out of existence. You're living on in either heaven or hell. And the Lord says to you, what's it profiting you? Irrespective of what you gain on earth, if you lose your soul. If you lose your soul. There are many grounds on which men lose their soul. Living for sin and pleasure. Forgetting all about eternity. Forget all you hear in this meeting tonight. Forget all that Mr. Greer has ever preached from this pulpit. Forget every word any Christian has ever said to you. And my dear friend, you'll lose your soul. Just don't change anything. Just carry on the way you're going. And forever you'll be a lost, perishing soul. It was Bishop J.C. Ryle who closed one of his meetings one night. He said this: you don't have to be a great sinner to go to hell. Just keep coming to church. Never come to Christ. Just keep listening. Never believing. Just keep hearing the word. Never repenting. And by and by, you'll be a lost, perishing soul. Sinner, just keep going the way you're going. Don't change anything. And it's the sure ground you're going to lose your soul. It's the sure ground you're going to lose your soul. Another way men lose their soul is this: they have a hope that they can have their soul saved later. The Church of Rome still peddles the lie of purgatory. Multitudes fall into hell holding that lie. I was looking up on it last night when it actually came into being, that doctrine. Council of Trent confirmed it in 1548 as a doctrine of the Church of Rome, of purgatory. My dear friend, multitudes perish with that doctrine across our world, with the hope that their soul can be saved at a later date. But sinner friend, in this meeting, let's make it clear. If your soul doesn't enter heaven at death, your soul will never enter heaven. If you pass away, I say it reverently tonight, and your soul doesn't go to be with Christ, this meeting is as near heaven as you're ever going to be. And you have lost your soul. And you have perished. The grounds for losing the soul. Another ground of losing the soul is this: deceived into thinking death's the end. We all hear it, don't we? I used to hear it all the time when I, in my places of employment. You know the way the ungodly talk. Sure, you can't take it with you. Sure, we only live once. We're a long time dead. We've all heard those two. We're sick hearing them. Yes, sinner, that's right. You're not taking anything with you. And yes, you only die once. Sinner friend, let me tell you this, you only lose your soul once. Because when it's lost, it's lost. And death is not the end. Because death, by divine declaration, is this: and as it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. Sinner, see it tonight. As death takes you, the judgment receives you. In your Christ rejection, in your sin, in your rebellion, in your wickedness, in your pursuit of carnality, whatever ungodliness, whatever has kept you from Christ your whole life, as death takes you, the judgment throne receives you. That's death by divine declaration. And as it's appointed unto men once to die, and sinner, it's certain, so after this, the judgment, death certain, and the judgment certain. And my dear sinner friend, to have a thought that death's the end is the very ground upon which you'll lose your soul. Christ taught while on earth many had lost their soul. They were rebellious. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lived only for sin. Lived only for that which could pamper the flesh. Noah's day, they lost their souls. Sodom and Gomorrah, they lost their souls. The list goes on. They died lost and perishing souls. Sinner, another way to lose your soul is this: keep walking out of the gospel meeting. keep walking out of the gospel meeting without Christ. Let me tell you, my dear friend, you're not going to thank me for saying this, but this is a fact. Every time you walk out of a gospel meeting without Jesus Christ, it is an act of rebellion against God. You see, the preacher's only the spokesman. He's just brought the word God laid in his heart. God addresses his creatures. He commands you to repent and believe the gospel. And my dear friend, that march that takes you from your pew out into that car park without Jesus Christ is an act of rebellion. It's an act of rebellion. Because the word has come to you. And it's your message back to God. I'm not coming. And I tell you, dear friend, and I say it fearfully, it's a march that will march you right to the gates of hell. That's where it'll take you. If you leave the gospel meeting again, this really struck me yesterday. I thought about it a long time. You leave the gospel meeting, angels watch on. 1 Corinthians tells us they're in attendance. The Lord watches on. There you are. You've been preached to again. You've been told to repent, believe the gospel. You've been told to come to Christ. You've been shown his cross. You've been shown his blood that will cleanse you from all sin. You've been told that God's well satisfied with the work of Christ. He'll pardon all that come. All you have to do is repent, believe the gospel. And we leave. In our act of defiance, because that's what it is. The gospel, my friend, is not a take it or leave it. Jesus said, repent. Believe the gospel. Repent. Believe the gospel. Sinner, see this tonight. See what you're doing. As you hear God's voice through this book, calling you again, warning you of your danger, warning you of your need to come to Christ. My friend, see it. See what you're doing. Because I'll tell you this, you're going to walk out one time, and it'll be the last time. We tremble. I mean that. I was sitting in a house in this town not long ago. Big family circle. Knowing them as years. They were much in my heart, and I went to see them. None of them saved. I sat down with the mother in that home. Just me and her were talking. I says, I'm very concerned. She says, what are you concerned about, Tom? I says, I'm very concerned about your family. I said, it's getting bigger. Families get bigger, the Maori, the family circle gets wider. And I said, I'm concerned somebody's not going to make it to heaven. Dear sinner friend, in this meeting, from the minister down to the man in the pew that pray in this church, that's our concern. That some of you aren't going to make it. That some of you aren't going to be in heaven. But you're going to lose your soul. Which God gave you, which is of more value in this world, and you're going to lose it. Sinner, is it not time to stop and consider your soul? You're going to live forever, either in God's heaven or God's hell. The Lord Jesus goes on here in this text. He then describes the value of the soul. He says this, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We all understand what exchange means. We do it every day. Exchange is giving money to receive an item of the equivalent value. That's one form of exchange. Sinner, the Lord asks you tonight, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Everything on earth has a price. It's not so with your soul. Your soul's value is no equal. It's eternal. It's immortal. It will live forever. It will never die. But sinner friend, as you sit in this meeting without Christ, you are on the very grounds of losing it. Losing that soul that God gave you. Sinner, face it head on tonight. Said that right at the outset. This is between you and the Lord. God gave you the soul. Made in the image of God. You're in your sin. You're not ready to meet God. You're not ready for the judgment. You're not ready to die. Sinner friends, see your condition. You're a lawbreaker. You're cut off. You're in your sin. God's angry with the wicked every day. That's how you stand tonight before God. It's absolutely irrelevant what anybody in this town thinks about you when you begin to think on it like that. It doesn't matter one iota what your neighbor thinks of you. It doesn't even matter what anybody thinks of you. You are in trouble with God. You are a breath from being damned. You are a breath from eternal ruin. You're a breath from losing your soul. You're not ready. You're not ready. You say, preacher, how do I get ready? Yes, that's exactly what you need to say. Preacher, how do I get ready? My dear friend, there are many grounds of losing your soul. There's only one ground upon which to get ready and have it saved. And that is redemption ground. That is to flee to the one who here warns you, the Lord Jesus, of losing your soul, of losing that soul. My friend, Christ has done all you need. Redemption ground, the ground of peace we've been singing. Think of the Lord Jesus. Think of the one that's speaking here. The one that said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ the rock, the smitten rock. That takes us to Calvary. And my dear friend, upon Christ, he'll build the church. His life, his death, his obedience, his blood. All that you haven't done, he has done. And then he gave his life an offering for sin. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The psalmist spoke of it. Turn with me to Psalm 49. Here's the psalmist speaking. Speaking about the salvation of a soul. Look with me at Psalm 49 verse 15. Psalm 49 verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. My friend, there is divine intervention. The psalmist looking by faith to the coming Messiah. Looking by faith to the one that would come and die. That would come and die for sinners. Friend, Paul put it like this in Galatians 4. Unsaved, hear this. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Made of a woman. Made under the law. To redeem them that are under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. He took unto himself a true body and a reasonable soul. He lived among men. He went to that cross of Calvary. And sinner friend, get this now. He died for sinners. He shed his blood for sinners. He satisfied divine justice. He propitiated divine wrath. He opened heaven with his own blood. Oh, my sinner friend, see this. All you need is Christ. All things are ready. There's a righteousness to cover your guilt. There's precious blood to cleanse you from all your sin, irrespective of what it is. I told you at the outset, it's between you and God. There's a righteousness to cover you. There's precious blood to cleanse you. But sinner, it will avail you nothing until you come. God said through Job, in Job 33, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a great ransom.
What was that ransom, sinner? The blood of our Lord. The blood of our Lord that was shed at Calvary. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. And sinner, no other fount you need. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sinner, long prayed for. Sinner, young person, old person. I don't say that in bad manners, I just mean it in ages. Is it not time you were saved? Some of you went on for many a year without Christ, without an anchor for the soul. Think of the old words that were on the old clock. Many of you can say it. When I was a child, I laughed and wept, time crept. When I was a youth, I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. As I older grew, time flew. Soon will I find, while travelling on, time gone. Will Christ have saved your soul by then? That's the question, sinner. Face it head on. It's between you and God. Will Christ have saved my soul by then? That's your choice. Man's responsible to repent and believe the gospel. Sinner, you come, he'll save you now. He'll keep you till the river rolls its water at your feet. He'll bear you safely over. Made by grace for glory meet. You come into this meeting on your way to hell. You can leave it saved. Sins forgiven. On your way to heaven. But my friend, you've got to get to the one that warns you here. Jesus, the lover of my soul. You've got to get to him. There's where you'll find forgiveness. There's where you'll find peace with God, in his blood, by his cross. But sinner, you've got to come. All things are ready. All things are ready. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I'll never cast him out. Sinner, you have the Lord's promise tonight. He's not a man that he can lie, he's God. He says, him that cometh to me, I'll never cast him out. He said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The word saved there, it means made and kept, sound and safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. What did I say at the beginning? Your soul. Will Christ save it? Or will you lose it? Sinner, be wise tonight. You've left these meetings long enough. Let's just put it clear. It's time to come. It's time to repent and believe the gospel. And sinner, be saved now. Pass from death unto life. Pass from the power of Satan and sin. Let's not beat about the bush. The devil wants you in hell. You have an enemy's friend. You better wake up to that fact. His great aim for you is hell. He doesn't care how he gets you there. He just wants you there. You better believe that. That's what the Lord teaches in that book. And there's only one way it's not going to happen. You must come to Christ. And he'll save you. He'll justify you. He'll wash you in his blood. Give you a heart for the things of God. Cleanse you. Take you at last to heaven. Home. Safe. Sinner, is it not time? It's time now. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father, take all that has been of Thee in this meeting. Bless it to every heart. Let all that hasn't been of Thee fall to the ground. Bless Mr. Greer now in his closing remarks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.